Around 3 million people in the UK have osteoporosis. The condition can result in bones becoming fragile and breaking easily, causing both pain and disability. The National Osteoporosis Society is the leading UK charity dedicated to ending the pain and suffering caused by this disease. It receives help in many forms, including fundraising supporters. One of those is Rebecca Howells. She'll be running in the London Marathon to raise money, and she joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Rebecca. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Lovely to have you here. Before I talk to you about this marathon challenge, let's talk about the condition, if we can.
Okay.
You're an orthopaedic nurse at East Surrey Hospital, so you specialise in hip fractures. So you're kind of well placed to kind of fill us in a little bit here and explain this disease. One in two women and one in five men over the age of 50 will break a bone as a result of osteoporosis. But what is osteoporosis and how is it caused, Rebecca?
Osteoporosis itself is, as you've sort of explained, the condition where the bones lose their strength, so it makes them more susceptible to fractures from relatively minor falls or trauma. Usually the bone is worn out and broken down by cells called osteoclasts, and the new bone is rebuilt by osteoblast cells, and this whole process is called bone remodelling. As we get older, though, the process slows down, particularly for women who have a very rapid decline for several years immediately following the menopause. So most people assume it's a female condition, but actually it does, as you say, affect both men and women, with over 500,000 men and women presenting each year to UK hospitals with some sort of fragility fracture. The most common sites of fracture are the wrist, spine and hip. And you would be considered to have osteoporosis if you've had a fragility fracture and the diagnosis has been confirmed by means of a scan, which is called a DEXA scan, which is just very similar to a standard X-ray.
Now, that's the salient point, isn't it? It's not just women, although it's more common in women, as you say, but men do get it as well. And I suppose because women have, they tend to have smaller bones than men and they live longer. So the loss of bone tissue continues for longer, doesn't
Absolutely, yes.
And it makes the fractures more likely, I guess. And you, again, you very importantly mentioned that men can get osteoporosis. And I understand also that, I mean, it kind of creates confusion for them because everyone associates that condition with women, and it makes it more difficult for them to come to terms with the condition and actually seek help and support. But they, you know, they should be classed in that group too, shouldn't they? It's important to make that point. And osteoporosis literally means porous bones, doesn't it?
Yes, if you think of the centre, the trabecular bone, as being like a honeycomb, as osteoporosis develops, then the holes in that honeycomb get bigger, and that's where you lose your bone density and your bone strength from.
Absolutely. And how big an effect does it have on people's lives, this condition?
Osteoporosis itself is not really a painful or limiting condition. What makes it painful and limiting is the fact that you have the fragility fractures. So somebody may not themselves know they've got osteoporosis until they've had one, possibly a second fracture, which then prompts investigation. Spinal fractures can be the most painful. They develop into a wedge shape, and although they will heal, the vertebrae will never regain their original shape, and that's what gives you that classic sort of dowager's hump that we see in you know, when you think of elderly women with the curved back. It's almost certainly because they've got osteoporosis as a condition.
And you actually have witnessed this disease in your family. You had an aunt who had it, and the disease progressed to quite a high degree. How big an effect did it have on your aunt?
I just remember her going from a very active lady to eventually, you know, sort of shuffling around her house with the hunched back, looking obviously as if she was in pain. And it was osteoporosis was a large contributing factor to her eventually having to leave her family home of 65 years and going into a care home, which is a fact she never really fully came to terms with either. And sort of living the rest of her life in considerable pain.
It can be quite a life-changing condition, can't it? You also have a condition that weakens your bones, and I don't know how to pronounce this, I'm afraid. Osteopenia.
Yeah.
Openia.
Yeah.
And it makes it more likely for your bones to fracture. And tell us just briefly a little bit about that.
It is very similar to osteoporosis. It is a low bone density disease. The fact is that osteopenia and osteoporosis are measured on a scale which we use what's called a T-score. So from the DEXA scan, anybody with osteoporosis is somebody that has a T-score of below minus 2.5. Myself with osteopenia, it's anybody with the score between minus 1 and minus 2.5. And anybody with a T-score of minus 1 or above is somebody who has normal, healthy bones. So again, from my own point of view, I am more susceptible to rigidity fractures. So, you know, a simple trip or fall, which wouldn't really have any adverse effect on anybody else with normal, healthy bones, unfortunately causes me to have several fractures already.
That's not so good, is it? Especially with what you're going to talk about soon. Apparently, I mean, I've read a little bit around it, and it, you know, it's quite a complicated subject, but there's quite a lot that can be done to treat the condition and prevent fractures. What sort of tips, Rebecca, would you give to people to help us from breaking bones?
The most obvious thing, which I'm sure probably every healthcare professional will tell you about most conditions, is exercise and healthy diet. Weight-bearing exercise in particular, so walking, you know, anything sort of gym work, resistance work with weights, that sort of thing will all add to building up your bone strength. It is possible to build up your bone strength again.
That's what I was going to ask you. You can rebuild.
You can.
It's not like that's it. That's, you know, there's nothing that can be done.
No.
That is
brilliant. You won't ever probably get to, you know, obviously your peak bone is in your sort of 30s, so we're not sort of expecting anyone to get back to a peak bone density, but you can certainly make it better.
But you can improve it. And yes. I think that's a really important point to make to people, that there is hope and there are things that you can do. Because I think very often, if you feel that you can control something within your health framework, that makes such a difference to you, doesn't it? You
Definitely.
Feel that you can do something to help yourself. That really does help. Now, the National Osteoporosis Society is the leading UK charity, as I said earlier, and you're helping to raise funds for them. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be running the London Marathon, which is sounding very foreign to me and very real. I've never run before. if you count sprinting, maybe at school sports day, that's about it. But I broke my leg in December 2015 and had surgery. I've now got half a metal leg. And I knew that I had to do something in general for health and fitness. So I went to the gym and started just doing a bit of treadmill work and cross training, that sort of thing. And I watch the London Marathon every year, and I'm just totally in awe of anybody that does it. And the day after last year's London Marathon, I had a look at the charity list and saw that the National Osteoporosis Society was listed as one of their charity placeholders. So I contacted them straight away and got a reply almost instantly to say that you know, they wanted to know a little bit more about me and my story. And they would put me on a list of potential people, and I heard from them in May to say that they were going to give me one of their charity places.
See, this is the thing that I think is quite amazing about you. Now, you could, with your condition, say, oh, you know, I better be careful. I won't lift a cup of tea. Feed me a grape. You know, you could easily have that mindset, couldn't you? You could have a gentle jog round the block. But no. But no, you're going to do the marathon. Just remind me, how many miles is it?
It's 26.2.
Yes, I thought it was 26, and that 0.2 could really be something that's on your mind.
Yes, that'll be the bit from where I can see the finish line.
The 0.2 could really have something there. And your dog is helping you. You could even enter your dog into the marathon, because your dog is helping you train, is that right?
Well, yeah, to an extent, yes. It's interesting running with the dog. She has no concept of running in a straight line. For now she's running with me. When I start hitting the longer distances, I'm going to have to leave her behind, I'm afraid.
So what sort of training have you done, joking apart? You've been running while you're walking the dog, as you say, and I think you've been doing about 6 miles
at the moment. I'm now just progressing now this week. Actually, I'm following a training plan, which is a first time finishers training plan, it's called, and now so this week I'll be up to 7 miles, and it's just a gradual build up. The thing that appealed to me about the plan more than anything was actually they don't concentrate so much about the distance, but more about the time. So, you know, run for X amount of minutes, walk for X amount of minutes, run again, and then it gives you a rough idea of how far that should have been by the time you finished that. And so far, it's, you know, working out quite nicely.
That sounds a bit like interval training, running a bit, walking a bit. So that
a
helps
lot of
build
it
up stamina.
Yes, mm. Yeah, on that sort of style of training, yeah.
And the marathon, am I right in thinking it's on the 23rd of April?
Yes.
It is. So you're up to 7 miles,
yeah.
And you're going to build that up. And so we're almost in February,
mm-hmm.
So there's quite a big jump, isn't there? With 7 miles up to 26, will you actually
yeah.
only wait for that 26 miles on the day?
On the day,
yeah.
The training peaks at, they sort of estimate between 18 to 20 miles should be your peak distance. And then, you know, on the day, the adrenaline and the atmosphere and everything else will carry you through. If you can run 20 miles, you'll do the other six.
And are you doing gym work as well, sort of strength training?
Yes, I'm still doing some strength training and working on my leg strength. So, yeah, just doing squats and things. So.
And how positive are you feeling about the whole experience?
I'm really looking forward to it. Certain nervous excitement, but,
yes.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's fantastic. Rebecca, I don't know that I could even run for 6 minutes, let alone 26.2
yes.
miles, you said. I think you're completely bonkers, but brilliant for doing it. And everyone should support you as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, taking this on is such an amazing challenge for you personally. It's really something to sort of tell the grandchildren, isn't it, in the future.
Yes,
it's,
yeah.
it's definitely, it's a real landmark in someone's life doing the London Marathon. So all the very best.
Thank you.
With that, and just tell us quickly how people can get in touch if they want to sponsor you, I guess is the word.
There's two methods. The first one is through the Just Giving page. So the easiest thing to do is you can go to justgiving.com and then just look for my name, and I'll be the one with the photograph in the shirt for National Osteoporosis. Or the other is by text. So you can text RHLM 98, then with a pound sign and number for your donation, and the text number for that is 70070.
Okay, we'll put all of those details on the site when the interview goes up in a couple of days' time. So if people didn't catch all that, don't worry, we will provide that on the Susie website. Well, thank you so much for coming on to talk about it. All the very best in
thank
April.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. And do tell us how you get on.
We'll do.
How much you raise and how you get on. It's fantastic. That was marathon runner Rebecca Howells. And if you want to sponsor this amazing challenge that she's going to be doing, you can do that by making a donation to the National Osteoporosis Society. Go online to justgiving.com/Rebecca Howells 0906. We'll give you the other details that Rebecca's just read out to you as well. Now we'll go onto the website. So we'll give that web address and all those details on the Susie website. Now, Rebecca, I don't know what sort of songs you like. We had a whole host and I rejected one of yours. It was very rude of me. What was the one that you suggested that you liked?
I can't remember. Bush.
Kate Bush. Yeah, I'm not allowed to publicly comment on anything, but I've chosen this next one for you, so I hope it is cheesy, but hey ho, that's what we're about here. So all the best in April. This is for Rebecca Howells.